Susie Thorpe.
On Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now I've got somebody very famous here, Cambridge blogger Jessica. And this is Jessica in Your Ear. It's a blog, a travel blog. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you here. Now, the reason I've got you here is because I want to talk about women travelling solo on holidays. And it's a subject that I find quite interesting, actually, in the sense that is there still a stigma to it?
I think so. I think people are doing it more and more as time goes on. But I think there's many more people who haven't tried it yet.
You have, though. You've done quite a lot of travelling. Even though, I admire this, you've got a full-time job. You work for Visit Cambridge, which obviously is into travelling as well and visiting Cambridge. But you have got a bug for travelling and you do a lot of it on your own as well, don't you?
Yes, yeah. A couple of years ago, really started travelling much more than I'd done previously. And one of the barriers had always been that I didn't have other people who perhaps wanted to go or were able to go or had the same time that I had. So it seemed a natural step that I would go on my own.
And that is interesting, isn't it? When you don't have, other friends don't have the time, and sometimes you're beholden to, it's always very good going on holiday with, you know, anyone, isn't it? Friends or other. But if you don't, can't quite connect and do get the same holiday at the same time, it stops a lot of women from travelling full stop. And that seems a shame, doesn't it?
It really does, because you can miss out on those experiences simply because you don't have anybody else who can join you. So being able to go and do it on your own means that you can still do that.
Yeah. So the one thing I want to know, you obviously, you were telling me that you've travelled the world, you've done 12 months of 12 countries in 1 year, and that was partly on your own and partly with friends. But the most important thing today is when you tell friends and family that you are going alone, what's the response been?
Overwhelmingly positive, actually. Even from my parents, who perhaps you would think would be a little bit worried, really love that I've got the independence to be able to go away and do things on my own.
Yeah, and that is the most important thing, doing things on your own. And from that, you sort of kind of have to make up your own decision in your own mind and really plan your own day. And sometimes that's quite a novelty to a lot of women because they haven't done that, have they? So it must be invaluable to be able to have that experience.
Yeah, it's quite freeing, really, to be able to be completely in control yourself and just do exactly whatever you want to do. I think there are some assumptions that people make about solo travel that you have to do it in a certain way. So you have to stay in hostels or you have to backpack. And actually, when I travel, I don't do any of that. I book a hotel and I have quite a kind of relaxing, treating myself break. So you can really make it work for how you want to travel.
And talking of hotels, that was that thing when you had a single room that you had to pay a subsidy. Do you still have to do that?
You do have to in some, but hotels seem to be realising that this is a really growing market and lots more women in particular do want to travel on their own. So lots of places have started to get rid of that single supplement, and even things like group tours are now starting to remove that because they realise so many people want to do it and it's a barrier.
And that, absolutely, it's another market, isn't it, really? Another area of people travelling that has just really got hold, and people said actually it's normal to do, really. But so talking about how women go about and do their travel holidays, there's that famous, I keep seeing when I was researching this when you were coming in today, the headline is, "Where can a woman travel alone still?" It's such an old saying, isn't it? You wouldn't say that about men, but I understand that there are limits about where you can go because of culture and religion in parts of the world. But how would you advise any woman going about that, they turn up at a country that has got laws about how women dress? What would you say that they would need to do?
I think research is so important, not only because you then understand where you're going, but you can prepare much better. And I think if you can be prepared and know what to expect, then you're managing any risks or issues that may happen, and therefore you can just have a better experience.
And what about how women should behave around men? I mean, have you sort of learnt and seen how other people have sort of, how, you know, that's a question I just want to find out.
Personally, I've never had any issues. I've never had a problem at all. I, again, think it's about preparation partly. So For example, one thing that I'm often asked by people is about eating on their own, and that's a real worry that people have of, oh, I'd love to travel on my own, but I couldn't go out for dinner on my own. And the really simple thing that I do is I take a book. So I'm sat there reading, so I don't get any unwanted interruptions, because I'm signifying that it's I want to be on my own and not have anybody interrupt that time.
That is a very good point, actually, Jessica. I like that, because it is about being on your own and thinking, what do I do? Do I need to look over there? Do I look to look here? You almost feel uncomfortable, but you shouldn't, should you? I mean, you walk into a supermarket and you get your shopping and you do things on your own then. So I like that. And of course, as you just said, technology helps too, doesn't it? And with travelling on your own, you feel, does that help or does that hinder?
I think it really helps. I think you can navigate much easier, you can research things much easier. And also, there's a really great community online. There's lots of Facebook groups, one particular called Girls Love Travel, which is full of hundreds of thousands of women, most of whom are travelling solo throughout the world. So they're a great resource that if you've got any questions, or even if you're stuck in a country and you need some help, there'll be somebody online who can help you.
And what's been the most interesting part about travelling on your own? What do you feel that you've come out thinking, wow, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I went travelling on my own.
I think you prove to yourself what you can do, and actually you feel much more capable as a result. It can be quite scary to spend time on your own and your own thoughts, but actually it's amazing to really enjoy that. And then you feel much more confident and independent as a result.
And I suppose in many ways you have to plan what you do, because if when you're with somebody else, somebody else is interested in doing something else. So the planning, it takes a sort of a light track. But when you're on your own, you do have to plan things. But that's quite normal, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm somebody who absolutely loves planning holidays as much as the holiday themselves. So I love that part. But also, if you don't want to plan, you don't have to. I think when you're on your own, if you're tired and you want to go back to the hotel at 2 p.m, you can do that, because nobody else is there that you feel like you have to do something because you're part of a group. You're totally kind of freed to do whatever you want to do with your itinerary.
And travelling in the year, what is your favourite time to be travelling? I mean, everybody says the summer, of course, but what's been the most rewarding for you? Which time of the year?
I think spring is great, because it's not quite as touristy. You're missing the summer holidays, so it's a little bit quieter. It's also a little bit cheaper. And you can see places as they're just starting to blossom and get a little bit warmer before the summer hits.
And what about booking your holidays? Do you get sort of, I don't know, prejudice or backlash from travel companies and say, are you travelling on your own? Oh, okay. Do you get any sort of vibe that you shouldn't be travelling around when you book your holidays?
No, not at all. I have stayed in a variety of accommodation, from Airbnbs to hotels, and I think it's not questioned anymore, actually.
Yeah. And so to get the sort of the theme across to parents that have children, or especially daughters who are thinking about it, what would be your advice to parents to allow them to take their own destiny and travel on their own?
I think allow them to do it and to give it a go. I mean, one of the things that I did when I decided I wanted to travel on my own was I planned a UK break first. So my first solo trip was to Edinburgh. So I knew that I would be able to access my bank cards. I knew that I could phone, and I knew that if I absolutely hated it, I could get a train home. And I didn't. I loved it. But by doing it first in a way that was not quite so far away, I could build up my confidence to then do something bigger.
And that's a good point you just raised about if it goes wrong. So what if it goes wrong? You know, things do go wrong. You just learn from it, don't you? And you move on. But it shouldn't stop women from travelling on their own. And I think sometimes you value your solitude and you sort of, I don't know, compartmentalise your life a bit, don't you? And you have a time to think about what you want to do, which I think is quite new for women travelling, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that's true in many ways. I think wellness and that kind of looking after ourselves is growing, and travelling on your own is a great way to do that. Mm. And yeah, take some time and focus on yourself. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And do you have many other friends now taking note of what you've been doing and travelling themselves around? Have you inspired? Have you got response back from your website?
I have, yes. I have inspired some people to travel on their own, which is amazing to see. And it's brilliant to see people take that step that perhaps they were too nervous to do previously, and love it, be totally converted to it.
And we're not just talking about young women, of course, like you, but we're talking about older women and anybody really who wants to travel. That's the thing that is so good about it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's totally accessible to anybody who can do that. And like I say, there's so many resources online now and so many communities to help you make that leap.
I love your website. It's fantastic. I'm looking at it now.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know if you can see it on the screen there. Can you see it? So Jessica in your every experience everything. I love that. And you've got some great website and lovely pictures, which is pretty important for traveling, isn't it, to see the pictures?
Yes, it's great. And that's one of the questions I get actually is, how do you take photos when you're traveling on your own? Because obviously that's important to get it on Instagram.
Yeah, how do you do that? Do you get somebody else to take them for you?
Yeah, so I either ask strangers who are always more than happy to help, and you know, you can take a photo for them in exchange, or I take a tripod and I use a tripod to take photos so I can document my travels even though I haven't got someone to take those photos.
And when you are traveling on your own and you're talking about luggage, do you make it a point of making sure that you don't have a lot of, I mean, how do you, have you become quite sort of travel savvy with your luggage?
Definitely. I'm quite, I've got my packing list pretty much sorted and ready to go, and I'm definitely a hand luggage only kind of traveller.
Are you really?
Yes.
Seriously, I mean, how long do you use your one piece of luggage for? I mean, do you go away for 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
I personally tend to do shorter breaks because I like to do lots of short breaks with my annual leave as opposed to a long one. But I went to Bali earlier this year with a rucksack and, you know, stayed in hotels and had that experience, but kind of backpacked in that sense.
Now, is there a particular way of packing? I mean, have you got something on your blog that tells you exactly what you should be doing? Because, you know, I, for one, take so much more than I need when I go on holiday. I have the biggest suitcase and I think I didn't need any of that. But I'm so frightened about not having something and then having to go and buy it.
Definitely. And I think you over-prepare for all sorts of experiences. But, I try and take not as much. You almost need to pack and then take half of it out.
I can't even do that. But I mean, I've seen people that have like these foldable dresses that you can literally scrunch up and put away, and foldable hats. So there is a market for that. Do you have something on your website that deals with that? Or maybe you should put something on your website, how to pack.
Yeah, I think I may have written some in the past. My number one tip actually is to take an extension lead. So when you're going to Europe, for example, and you need an adapter, rather than taking 4 or 5 adapters for your various tech, because I take quite a lot with me, is to take a convertible extension lead. So you then just have to plug that in and then you can use your normal plug sockets to charge multiple
good
things at once.
Tip.
Good space saver.
Well, thank you so much. What are your plans? Do you have another plan? Are you going somewhere else?
I've got a few more days annual leave to take before April. So I'm currently looking at Eastern Europe, probably Estonia and Latvia, and looking to do that on my own.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. It's so lovely to talk to you, Jessica. Thank you very much for coming in, and wish you all the best for your solo travelling and meeting more people as well, because I think that's one of the highlights, isn't it?
Yes.
About meeting new people and different people. And back to the day job, which is visit Cambridge.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.